Good evening. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And this Wednesday night slot is an adventure for us to penetrate the writings of E.J. Gold. We've been doing it for a number of years now, Pat and Ivan. I don't recall quite how many, but it's been a number of years. I always take the position that I take with a great musician or a great artist or a great writer, that the work gets completed when the viewer is engaged with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been the recipients of a series of writings that are available to us, and what we're doing is we're engaging in that dialectic. And then the dialectic becomes a historical event. We're part of humanity speaking to the universal issues of mankind. And so that's what we're doing. We're doing it together in the form of a group. And this particular volume is entitled, from the Secret Talk series, and it's entitled Work of Groups. I wonder sometimes, Ivan and Pat, I mean, are there other conversations going on right now? What is the structure of a spiritual group?
Yes.
What are the elements of it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we're chewing on now together, seeing if we can discover some of those elements. So we're going to continue to do that.
We're going to pick up. I know where we had left off, but since I was not with us last week, I just wanted to share with the group a perspective about the group meeting and group work, which occurred to me because I wasn't sitting here in person last week. And that is that the engagement is a daily activity. It's not a weekly activity. We gather here on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, but the awareness and the focus and the attention, but mostly the commitment, is a daily activity. And what I found last week when I knew I was not going to be here is, first of all, I had to say my place will not have me sitting in it, but I will still be with the group even though I'm not sitting there. So my activity, participation, and commitment is still full, even though I will not at that time be present. And then I heard yesterday or the day before, I can't remember when it was, from Marvette, that the chemistry was extraordinary last week, and that I should definitely get the opportunity to look at the archive, which I haven't yet. But it confirmed for me that my participation had continued with the groupness, even though I wasn't sitting with the group. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody else, but it made complete and total sense to me last week, and it still makes sense to me today. So I thought I would share that.
Thank you. a few weeks ago, and I don't remember when it was, but it was several weeks ago now, and what we did is we kind of asked everybody, what are you going to do this week?
Mm-hmm.
And you were on your way. Ivan was going to be doing paperwork. Mm-hmm. You were on your way to Chico.
Mm-hmm.
You
had a meeting.
I had a very serious meeting the next day, which I did have.
Right.
I can't remember exactly what Vidira was going to do, but I remember her speaking to the point.
Yes.
And I'd like to do that again tonight, okay?
Oh.
But we'll do it maybe in a half hour.
Okay.
Because I'm just going to, just another element of group fabric building, in a sense. What are you going to do this week? And then we remember that we're part of it. Harry, by the way, is not here tonight. Harry called early this morning and said he's traveling to Sedona.
Mm-hmm.
With his family, his granddaughters, and I'm kind of aware of the fact he's like on a plane right now, traveling. And so we're going to be aware of him as he's climbing through the mountains in Sedona. So anyway, that's the preamble, okay?
Good.
So, Marvetta, is there anything to read, or should we just jump into the... So go ahead and see if there's anything to read. This is week number 12.
Wednesday, 5/31/17, work of groups, week number 11. 1. Operations of a group, but not exclusive to an apparent group. 1. A working group provokes real questions to arise within one. 2. Gives the space for one to be a portal for a real essence question, which is not a question just for oneself. It just flows through as it is supposed to. 3. A group can help in the formulation of an essence question trying to be asked. Boy, I love that.
Read that again.
Crystal. 3. A group can help in the formulation of an essence question trying to be asked. It's an active, present active tense, whatever. In Latin, they have all those different tenses, and this is one of those ones where it's like present and active and reflective all at the same time.
Okay. We're going to...
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. We're going to take it up. I just wanted to make a quick announcement that on Saturday is part two of the... Labyrinth Reader Society gathering, information gathering.
Seminar. LRS seminar.
Okay.
Thank you. And it's noon, right? Noon 15?
Yeah.
California time, noon 15, live stream.
What do you mean, 12:15?
Yeah, 12:15.
That's when it starts?
No, it starts at noon.
It starts at noon. I thought it started at 12:15.
No,
I think it starts at noon.
Thank you.
I think the clinic is before.
Wonderful. I didn't know that.
I thought so.
Last time I was told we were starting at 15 because. Okay. Yeah. That's right. Oh, thank you.
That's the house building thing?
No. That's on Sunday.
That's right.
Thank you. And there will be an email going out with a bunch of stuff for everybody.
Okay. 26, chapter 26,
yes.
And we're on page 62. And this is, it's the chapter entitled Knowledge is Free. I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit.
Yes.
And
knowledge
is free.
Free.
Sorry, what's the number?
26. Okay. So in the third paragraph, knowledge, yes, G agreed, knowledge should be and is free. It is understanding for which you must pay dearly. So we have to keep challenging ourselves to realize that there's a difference. It's in a certain way, it's easy to gather knowledge and just have the knowledge. And it's important to. But understanding is a different thing, and that's experiential. And it happens when you interact with one another. When we do that, we take ourselves to another level. That's the only point I really wanted to make there, Ivan. I know you had mentioned it. Then chapter 27,
yes.
The Ways.
That's it.
Why don't we go ahead and read that one? You want to take a shot at it?
Sure. Chapter 27, The Ways. To fully grasp the significance of the school, it is necessary to clearly understand that the ways are the only possible methods for the development of man's hidden potential. These small, fragile schools, surrounded on all sides by violence and inhabited internally by treachery, contain, in spite of these destructive obstacles, all possible hope for man's continued evolution. Ordinary organic life, even at best, leads to death and nothing beyond. Fantasy methods and religious belief in automatic salvation and afterlife, which seem to lead beyond life, are man's worst enemies. The function of the school cannot be understood if one believes that evolution is possible without help and efforts of a very special kind.
So throughout EJ's writings, you know, he drops this concept of the school. And I don't think we're quite prepared to jump to that level of definition. But in part, one of the elements of a school is the group. The group is the beginning of that, a group with intent and focus on the teachings that are presented is an element of that school. So we're going to keep the concept of school alive, and then as we go to the next couple of chapters, we're going to have to refer back to it.
Yeah.
Okay? So we're not ignoring it, but we're also not taking the time to attempt to define it here, but we'll get help in defining it as we go through the next couple of chapters. Okay?
David, could we just say, it just struck me, I didn't think of this actually when I just read this recently, but, you know, I think maybe we should acknowledge that then, that part of what EJ is saying here, that it's not unusual at all, it's very normal, or let's say, it's the usual situation for whatever a school or an evolutionary community is doing, to be surrounded by violence and chaos and counter forces and friction and so on. In other words, this sounds like our present situation, and the fact that the politics have gone weird and that there's terrorist organizations operating and people are throwing bombs and there's just a lot of fanaticism operating in even what we think of as the Western industrialized societies and so on. This is not at all unusual for human history. And the schools operate. This is what the what he's calling here the ways, which maybe we shouldn't dig into right now. But, you know, he doesn't say the school here. He says fragile schools, these small fragile schools. It's probably quite typical for a school to be surrounded by, well, you just look at the, trying to think of which books documented, you know, what Gurdjieff went through getting out of Russia and arriving in France. You know, it was like he went through he brought his school, his little circle, his group, he got them out of revolutionary Russia in 1917, 1918, yeah. Yeah, and they survived at first, and then he got them out of it. Yeah.
But there's hundreds of monastic orders that are existent today,
mm-hmm.
and they're in very remote places.
Yeah.
They don't even know they're there, and suddenly there's a monastery that's been there for 100 years, and the nuns or monks are operating to hold something sacred that is being abused in society. Our work is a little different in that it's we're in the world, not of the world, but we do go out into the world, which is a different element than the hermetic lifestyle that some of these other groups take on. So there's a generation of an energy here because of its monasticism, but some of us go into the world, and that's going to be an important factor in the next chapter. Okay.
That's right.
So I wanted to draw that distinction, and that there is a form of monasticism that takes over when you're following the principles of a school. You should write that down, Margaret. Yeah. There's a form of monasticism that occurs when you're following the principles of a school.
Hey, Dave, can I throw a penny in the pot?
Please do.
You know, I've often noted with great interest that many of the things that EJ is presenting appear to be an extension of some of Gurdjieff's fundamental ideas. And
right.
So for example, in chapter 26, Knowledge is Free, I thought you presented a very pregnant question in the email you sent out. How do we distinguish knowledge from understanding? And Gurdjieff's definition of that was that understanding is the blending together of data intentionally acquired, data and information intentionally acquired, that would be knowledge, blended together with personal experiences, personally experienced. And so the blending of that knowledge and personal experience produces understanding. And the best way to illustrate this is a reading of The Human Biological Machine, which contains a great deal of knowledge and challenges us to be able to identify the essential self within ourselves, that is that finer electrical field within the dominant physical field, which we regard ourselves to be. And once we can blend that personal experience of our essential self within the grosser material body, we've now come to understanding that was seeded by the knowledge that EJ presented throughout that book. And so when we get into chapter 27, The Ways, this is an echo of what Gurdjieff described as the three primary ways throughout human history that people have approached a transcendent nature. That is, they've done it the way of the fakir, which is the ascetic who through physical contortions of one kind or another reaches or is able to touch their essence. That's one way. A second way is the way of the monk, a religious way that's built upon religious feeling. And if that can be stimulated and provoked enough, you can essentially touch your essential self. And of course, the third way, the way of the yogi. This is the third way. If you can, again, stimulate the mind intensely enough over a long enough period of time, then through the mind you can touch the essential self. Gurdjieff says that these are the only three ways by which we can approach and experience our own personal essential self. But the drawback is that invariably, in pursuing one of these three paths, the other two are left undeveloped within ourselves. And so Gurdjieff himself proposed the fourth way, which is to attempt to touch each of these three parts of ourselves simultaneously. And this is, again, what EJ does in Human Biological Machine together with everything else. He's trying to help us identify, experience our essential self by observing our physical appearance and experiencing the feeling of the essential self and, of course, embracing the clear white light through our mental exertion. And, of course, as we go into the next chapter, 28 and 29, it's again just a name. So anyway, just some more background information. And all of this necessary for the formation of a group and a school. So anyway.
Yes, thank you. That places the context for us, especially for this next chapter. Thank you, George. Silverdale.
Okay. So chapter 28.
Can I just interrupt for a
second? Yeah.
Listening to Silverdale speak, it reminds me that we have to be constantly attempting, if at all possible, to make an application of what is offered in the text. Because if it's just what we are reading and, you know, we kind of sort of figure it with our associative brain and maybe we can relate it to one or two other things that we might have heard sometime or somebody might have said, it does no good to us at all. It has to be applied. Mm-hmm. Like he used these words, personally experienced. That's, you know, you have to make it yours or there's no way for it to make itself part of you. It just can't just happen. You have to do something with it. Sorry, I'm really on a tear.
No, keep going. Yeah.
It just makes sense that if you have something that you're trying to have happen, that there's something that you have to do. And the work of groups seems like it's kind of out of that picture of actually doing something, but it's a very precise doing. It's just not what we normally think of as activity. Like, you know, we frequently have activities. People come here and they do, what's that word when we go to the storage? You know, we do storage yama, storage yoga, storage
karma yoga.
Okay, and we have a project for a group of people to do while they're here as an opportunity to give them a structure in which they can form for the amount of time that they're here to put focus and energy and put it above themselves so it's at least the opportunity for that period of time to step out a little bit and place it. Yes, go ahead. Camera, lights, microphone, phone.
What you are just saying, Patty, and when I was reading this, chapter is interesting because it was today, and just yesterday I was, and the day before, I was a little struggling in my life with my work with one person, and it was related on the work and the work of he and I. So as I was reading this, I got like, oh, wow, this is just there. And I was thinking, and I actually made moves during that moment, and I said, no, I cannot do this anymore. And I was really feeling it at that moment. And the persona, Paula, was feeling really like, I cannot do this anymore. But then later, and this was a good reminder of that too, that it was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm doing this, and but this is not only Paula and the other person. It's actually, it's a work, and it's a whole, I don't know, like, I got a sense that it was bigger than he and I, and that actually I, like, thinking that I can just finish that by saying it sounded, like, weird and strange. So I think in the way I'm understanding this, that's kind of like what it talks about is when you start really getting not only a knowledge, oh, yeah, all these books or all these phrases or, I don't know what how to say, quotes, but when you're actually putting it together in your life, when you are doing the dishes, when you are relating with the people that you're working with, when you are, I mean, everything in your daily life, really, is when it comes alive. But as long as it keeps this separation between, oh, this is my life when I get into a show and I hear all these words and I feel good about them and thinking about it, talking about it. But then the moment it ends, there's an interaction and I totally just clash with my monkey side. It's,
yes.
It's not worthy.
Thank you.
So throughout, the key there is, we've got all of this data that we're getting to EJ and other studies that we do. Now apply it exactly to your situation. You have tools. Many years ago, George and I were working on practical work on self with a friend of ours also up in the Seattle group. And we were on the conference call together and there were sparks between me and this other individual, and it got quite heated.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of it, George says to this other individual, and what chapter in practical work on self are you using right now to work on what's going on in you?
Thank you.
That's like a big 2x4 splat. So all these things that we get into, let's say that we've started a business and we don't know how to proceed with the business. And so we just stop doing it because we're afraid. That's a technique that works for a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because momentum will carry you on and on and on.
On. The apathy of non-action will, but if you want to, well, by necessity, we're talking about going into worlds that we don't know, right? We're investigating into the unknowns, and that's the most exciting thing there is. And sometimes you go down those roads, and there's just not what you want there. It's not what you want, but sometimes you got to have the courage to do it. You have to have the courage to do it. You're smart. You're safe. You can figure it out. But instead of react from the Paula, whoever that is at that moment, you have other tools you can bring. And sometimes you do that and there's great success.
David, I'd like to point out that your example, both you and Paula are talking about a form of paying for understanding,
yeah.
You know, which is to say, right, you've read the talk, you've sat in the hours of discussions of practical work on self and so on, but it's effort, you know, it's actually making an effort in your own daily life is what constitutes a form of payment. And then what I thought of the same way, what Pat was saying about karma yoga, I mean, if you ever come here materially, physically, you know, and attend these workshops with EJ for 2 or 3 days for a weekend or something, yeah, he's liable to, he's going to pour out, he's pouring out knowledge. It's like knowledge, 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 and then he get up and say, okay, now we're going to have lunch, and then everybody's going to work in the garden, or we're going to build this wall outside, and so on. And guess what? I mean, it's like, you know, some people, I know actually over the years that there's some people who said, well, I paid to come here, and now I'm going to go out and work on the garden for the Institute. Well, I mean, I always felt like, oh my God, what a gift. I mean, I'm getting to pay. I'm getting to actually pay back, to do something. To do something to pay. I'm paying back for all of this that is coming to me. And it's also like, I know you can see the EJ, he's watching like a hawk, like, okay, boy, people are now there really loaded and their cups overflowing and they need to go out. They need to cogitate this for a while. They need to mix it with physical motion and activity and integrate it, absorb it.
I think if you pay, you actually pay, and you can figure out the ways and means during your day in which to pay every single day, every day, each one of us. And we're gonna go around the room in about 15 minutes. I'm going to ask the question, what are you going to be doing this week? That's all I'm going to ask. You don't have to critique it or anything. So when you pay, there's often, if not always, a return on your investment. Okay?
And just to highlight that a little bit, if you pay attention, you get an initial return on your investment. And then you get, what's the financial term for the long term? You know? You earn interest on it. It continues to
return on your investment,
give you a return on your investment. It is the quality of your payment will contribute to the amount of use that you get of the knowledge that you're paying for.
It produces dividends.
Thank you.
Dividends.
Dividends.
These are individuals, hearing these individuals speak, and these are individuals that have put the tools to work. They've put the tools to work and have deepened their understanding of the knowledge. Go ahead. Let's just go ahead and start the next chapter.
Yeah, that's good. Dan.
I was going to mention that it isn't apparent, I guess, but if you're working on all centers and you're sitting passively receiving data, at some point you have to bring the moving center into it. And you have to take some action, and going out in the garden is a good way of doing that, in addition to being a form of payment. And there's also the fact that the more effort you make, it is, as you say, an investment. It's your way of putting into the process something that connects you to the process. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
There's kind of a horrible phrase in investment capital. They call it, you got to pay to play.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, when you pay, you're in the game.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe that's a better way of putting it.
But it's also participation in the game as well.
That's right.
Yes.
And as Eric Brummel points out, working in the garden is a way of digesting what EJ gives.
Exactly.
And then he says, since you definitely don't want to puke.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that, I guess we've been saying it wrong, it's not the big 24, it's the big 2x4.
Oh, thank you.
Good for you.
We should record that, and you know what? That's worth a T-shirt. That is worth a T-shirt. Ivan's going to read, right?
I'm going to read. Yeah. Go ahead and just start with number two, paragraph two.
Chapter 28, Knowledge is Substance, second paragraph.
Yes. Yeah.
The majority of people here do not wish initiation and refuse their fair share of it, even just that portion necessary to ordinary life. Very large quantities of knowledge are available to those who wish and who know how to take.
Continue, David.
It's the next.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just scoot over.
Yeah.
And then back on the top of page 67 then, those who possess knowledge do everything in their power to transmit it and to prepare candidates for receptivity on the greatest possible scale. But knowledge cannot be transmitted by force. Anyone who wishes can follow indications given openly to everyone. But knowledge cannot be placed in someone without special, voluntary efforts on his part. Okay.
Knowledge is a tangible substance. If, for instance, we gild a dome, we must calculate the exact surface which can be gilded properly with a fixed amount of gold. Knowledge is not infinite. Au contraire, it is very finite. If we try to coat too large a surface, it will be worse than if it had never been tampered with. The coating will be too sin. Not only that, but we shall also lose the gold we began with unless we can find more to complete our aim. If knowledge is distributed only to those able to use it, they not only take, but increase it alchemically. I mean, my gosh, the laws in that paragraph are a number. Silverdale, what say ye, Master? Do you like the power laws that are described in paragraph 3 on page 67?
Well, for sure, you know, the alchemical formulation, you need a little bit of gold to make more gold, and but first you have to be able to convert lead into gold. And so what this paragraph for me indicates is if we can use our ordinary abilities to acquire some fundamental knowledge, and that's what makes Human Biological Machine such a great book. There's so much knowledge in there, which as we begin to work with it, we actually begin to create a little bit of knowledge, real knowledge within ourselves, and then by working with it, we increase it, and over time we're able to feed our essential self, which is essentially the aim of our work efforts.
Thank you. I like the reference you're giving. Do you have another reference?
Yeah, I wanted to go back to this idea of transmission.
Oh, yes.
And I want to pick up on it, this idea of what does that mean, this idea of transmission, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very vibrant concept in Zen, particularly,
mm-hmm.
in both, mostly in Rensai Zen. But this is where, in a sense, they say, you know, the Roshi will say, he allows you to see his mind. Okay? He allows the student to see his mind. And Spinoza said when he was doing his analysis of the Bible, the first technical analysis of it, he says, as it were, Moses saw God face to face, and Jesus was mind to mind. Okay, 400 years ago. So I'm just going to read one quick story. Okay, this is just from David Suzuki's compilation of essays on Zen that he wrote when he came over to the United States, and he was a great chronicler of the Zen experience. And this is very short, but it's very typical, and it's just like, it won't make any sense unless you can grasp the meaning a little bit. So, Shan Tao was walking one day with his master in the mountains. The master, Shi Tuao, saw the branches of a tree obstructing the pathway and requested Shan Tao to clear them away. Said the disciple, I did not bring a knife with me. The teacher took out his own knife and held it out with the naked blade toward the disciple. Shan Tao said, please, the student says, give me the other end. What do you want to do with the other end? Asked the master. This made Shan Tao wake up to the truth of Zen. So if you've ever had a moment when you're walking in the woods with the master, first of all, the whole atmosphere is interesting and unique. So when this tension starts, we'll clear it away. I didn't bring my knife. The student's beside himself already. So it's at those moments, so I guess what I'm trying to say about transmission is that when we are in the special space of a particular kind of tension, difficulty, something happens, something's possible. And then maybe we can see. We are elements of transmission. We've talked about emanation, remember before? We are emanating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. And receiving the emanations of our friends. As we go through life, that's called the fourth way. We're in the world, but not of it. You go shopping today, right? And you're in the store. And you're moving through the store, right? Like a voyager. So we have to find the ways and means. Be aware of the fact that we are transmitters. Brummel goes to these, I don't know if he's still doing these shows where he's selling jewelry and stuff, that a lot of which he makes. That's like an incredible event to do. Because suddenly you are the host. There's a form of hospitality that you present. And you present that hospitality to the world. Would you like to come? Okay? So I want to just say that about transmission. Go ahead.
David, I don't know how much preface there is to that little piece that you read. Yeah. But I mean, isn't it the case with those Zen teachers and students that there's a long, long period of payment? In other words, that's what you just described is the moment of understanding. It's the illumination, yeah, the transmission. But so if this is it's an example of what in this talk, what EJ is talking about, the person who can use the knowledge, the master will spend years if necessary with that person, because the master knows that this understanding,
yeah,
is, that this individual is capable of the alchemical conversion of all of that practice or whatever.
And you see a lot of the stories that are around in this area, they'll say, you know, like Juan Po was in the garden with the master who pointed to the cherry blossom and slammed him in his chest, and thereupon he was enlightened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that wasn't because at that second, just some guy.
No.
This is a absolute deliberate student that had been working for decades and was ready
to demonstrate.
And the skill of the teacher is to pull that out at that moment when it's ready. You know, to go get it. Go ahead, Dan.
I remember a story that was similar to that. It was about a woman who was the student, and her particular instruction that was given to her was take no notice. And so it was her in her daily life. At some point, things were happening around her in her household. Somebody got hurt. Things were happening that she would normally be compelled to act on. And she remembered the practice, take no notice. And immediately she was enlightened at that moment. So for everyone, it's going to be something different.
Of course it is, and this is not a linear concept here. You know, that everybody walking in the wood with a master, and then they have to cut the branches down. No, it's not linear at all. It's fundamentally unique to the student and the teacher, and the student is well prepared, and then you look for those spectacular moments of opportunity where the portal opens and then something can happen.
And Auntie Matter says, we are the experiencing and simultaneously the witness of all this.
Yeah. And we are the emanators too, Auntie Matter. We are that in our daily life. And I wanted, Dan, why don't you read through the list that you've written? Just type into the log or just say one word or something, I'm going to be doing this coming week.
At least one word.
Well, yeah, say something.
Because if you type into the log not a single word, we won't know that you've typed it in.
Well, do you...
You're in charge.
Okay, well, did you want me to actually read the names off one by one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So first up is Silverdale.
Just, you just type it into the log, say it if you happen to be on near here. But then
on live TV, go
and
ahead.
And then just go on to the next one then, Dan. You can read them later. If...
Okay. So next up is Videra.
So Videra, there's one thing you're going to be doing in the coming week. Okay, go ahead.
Next is Eric Brummel. Next is Puka Puka.
Puka. One thing you're going to be doing, we're talking about from this space branching into that event. Okay, go ahead.
Next is Muscle Spark.
Very good. One thing you're going to be doing.
Next is Bernie LaPlante.
Bernie.
Next is Art of NGF.
Okay.
Next is Antimatter.
Does anybody type in what they're going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you read some of those in case we need to understand and see.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Okay, just, let's see. Silverdale says, I will try to consciously breathe. Muscle Spark says, breathe.
Breathe.
Breathe, breathe, breathe.
Muscle Spark says, playing.
Yes.
And Silverdale continues, that is, pay attention to my inhalation and exhalation of breath.
Thank you, Silverdale.
Puka Puka says, readying to be receptive for distant energy healing with Doc on June 9th.
Very good.
Good.
Friday. He wants to be ready for the healing class on Friday with Doc.
Okay. Federa says, dance.
Dance.
Better yet.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Eric Brummel says, I will meet a deadline.
I've met a couple of deadlines. They're not what they're cracked up to be either. Go ahead.
Antimatter says, play.
Okay.
Bernie says vigilant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next up is Gepalt.
Mm-hmm. One thing you're going to be doing, what could be a word, short sentence, very small novel.
Okay. Next is Doc Goss. Mm-hmm.
Speak to what you're going to do this week. One thing.
And then we come to the people in the room.
We have to participate?
Yes.
It was your idea.
Yes. Type it in.
Okay. So I should type in what people here are saying?
Yep.
Okay. All right, so.
There's the app and then type.
Okay. So first up is Ivan.
So somebody's got to hold that microphone to you. You're ready.
Proofreading. Very good.
Whoops.
I didn't get that. Okay, proofreading a very good book manuscript.
Next.
Who's next?
Got to keep the play going here, buddy.
Gepalt says healing readings.
Thank you.
Wow.
Next up is Patricia.
I will be doing a lot of bookkeeping in a way that I haven't done probably ever. And I will be holding my center confusion and responding with harmony and compassion. Because it's okay if I don't understand.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's a triple whammy.
Triple whammy.
Next is David.
I am taking somebody to the airport tomorrow at 11 a.m.
It's
going to be very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to know that.
Yeah.
That makes it so much easier for me to actually relate to everybody else now that you've said that.
Okay, good.
You know, there's a grounding. There's a.
Yeah.
You know, there's a compass now. Boom.
Yeah.
Okay, everything else is in relation. Thank you.
Next is Marvette.
I'll be preparing for videotaping and arranging on-site broadcast of many, many different live stream programs in addition to the regular ones that we normally have.
Yes.
Thank you. Very good.
Yay. Yeah.
We're going to talk about
it. Keep going.
Next is Paula.
I will be receiving a friend of Garrett for 4 days.
Yay.
You're going to be doing what?
We will be receiving a friend.
Oh.
A visit.
Receiving a friend.
Uh-huh.
And next is Michelle.
I will be getting rid of things that I don't need anymore.
Boom.
That's incredible.
We love that.
That affected this whole room, just to let people know.
Okay, and...
And Dan.
Well, when I go to work, I find I'm constantly driven by the activity, so I'm going to make an effort to pause and remember myself at work.
Yeah. Do you have a tool belt when you work? You're in a... Utility guy? No.
No. So are we leaving these out for now?
No, we're not leaving them out, but I don't know what we should do with
those.
Well,
you know, if we don't do them, then we must come all the way back.
Well,
you know.
Having done this exercise,
yeah.
I think we should read them.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. One man cannot awaken by himself. But 20 people can make an agreement with each other to awaken each other and keep themselves at least alert, if not exactly awake.
Dan, how many people are online right now?
How
many people are here?
Six, seven. That's
20. We got 20.
Perfect. So we got the 20 people.
Okay.
And we're doing this experiment, as David has said a number of times, of... Well, we're not all sitting in a circle here to, what is it called, to keep each other alert, but I think this is part of our experiment, is to see if we can acknowledge, we can act, let's say, for this week as if we were aware of this entire group.
Yeah, we are aware of our group, and now we have such a rich array of what people are going to do. Just fascinating, you know?
Even this is not entirely sufficient because they may all go to sleep at once. They must hire someone who is awake at least most of the time to prod them awake again and again until they awaken completely. They must hire him and pay him for his efforts in currency, which means something to him and which represents his objective value, not to them, but to his own work, which he temporarily puts aside for their benefit. I can't do this next paragraph.
You do not understand what understanding means. Knowledge can make calm. Understanding can bring to the most highly trained contemporary learned man the seemingly overwhelming power of despair. Despair is the father of prayer. Prayer is the mother of mercy. Father, mother, son. You are not automatically a school just because you have a group. The group must work to become a school. Let me give that to you again. You are not automatically a school just because you have a group. A group must work to become a school.
We can leave that.
Yeah.
Everyone can read the final paragraph for themselves.
So the warnings are given as a warning.
Yeah.
Take heed.
And then just scan your way through 29.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The 28 is really the nuts and bolts of this little section, and then the following week we'll pick it up on week 30,
mm-hmm.
the question of nature.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to point something out. Just take one more minute to do that, if it's okay. Do we have the time?
Yes.
Notice, and this might be something, Marvette, notice how simple it was for people this time to say what they were going to be doing. There was more, almost an enthusiasm to say it.
Yeah.
The first time we did it a few weeks ago, it's not that easy. Okay?
Yeah, we had to draw it out.
What
this
happened?
This time it just flowed.
What's happening? Okay? So, how you doing over there, Dan?
I didn't receive a reply from Doc, but I think that maybe she was away from the keyboard. I know there are two people who didn't type in at all, and I have no idea who they are. So
anyway, we'll look forward to taking up again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock with Chapter 30. Thanks, everybody, for
And
coming.
I look forward to seeing all of you on that.
Wait, there she is.
Ooh.
Doc. She says, I will be putting a little healing altar together.
Yay! Little healing altar. Yay.
Wow.
That's great.
So
there's a new program Friday morning.
Yeah.
Friday morning, yes,
hey,
I heard.
Dan, would you be willing to jot down on the list that you've made the comments that people made?
Or just print that out.
For that list.
Notate.
Did I say thank you and good night? And
you haven't.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming. Good night, and we look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
And thank you for being here.
Night Thanks all. For hosting us.
Thank you,
Silverdale.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Yay.
Good night.